Okay, our speaker tonight is Karen, who will share her experience, strength, and hope on why we are here. And I'll give you a 5-minute warning after 15 minutes, Karen. Go ahead, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Sandy. And what's up, UKBBA meeting? It is so good to be here with everybody. I think I've shared on this meeting before, but it's been a while. And always an honor. And to get an email from Judith is always like Christmas for me. I love Judith. I've learned so much from her, and I see her smiling face joining us right now. So I'm going to share something with you right now, something that came to me out of meditation in this last year. I am powerless, and I am powerless over my emotions, over people, places, and things. I only have one problem, and that's an unmanageable life, but I have a list of failed solutions: alcohol, drugs, food behaviors, process addictions, Amazoning, which is something that I've noticed recently. And I think some of you can, TJ Maxxing maybe, like all of the things. So, and it came to me very clearly that there's only one problem, that my life has become unmanageable, but I will try all these other solutions until I have been introduced to the solution. So I have something called the God box that my ladies and I like to use. So we're going to see what God's going to give us for a message today. And I'm going to go through the book, pinpointing the things, the reasons that tell us why we're here, why we're in program, what this program has to offer. And I'll go as far as I can in the book until I get the 2-minute warning, right? So empathy comes out of the God box. So empathy, the definition of empathy is the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another. And in the big book, it shows up as I spoke, I looked around the room. More importantly, I looked at the faces of the people in the room, and I saw it. I saw the understanding, the empathy, the love. And that's from page 326 in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. So I love Big Book Awakening's all addictions approach, because as I've said before, I've noticed that this unmanageability manifests itself in many, many, many different failed solutions for me. And as I go on, I notice anything that I'm looking towards to get out of myself, because I don't like what's going on, is a failed solution. Anytime I hand something over to God and then look over my shoulder and say, yeah, I don't like how you're holding that one, I'm going to try one of my failed solutions. And this is why we have what we have and why we're here. So all the way, the title page, our title page, our wonderful thing that we do in Big Book Awakening with our title page, gives me reasons why I'm here. I'm here because I need to recover. I'm here because I need my mind, body, and spirit to be together in the same place, because it's never been. And I'm here because I need to be whole. And that's everything that it tells us on that title page. So, and in all the forewords, there's so many reasons why we're here. In there, I'm here because a very, very, two very courageous men made a pact to not louse this thing up, if you've ever heard that, with what Dr. Bob said to Bill. And because one of them had the solution but didn't understand the problem, and the other one never understood the solution. And when they came together, it was like the sperm and the egg, AA was born. It was an amazing thing. So we're here because of the courage of those that came before us, those that blazed the trail, and they left the lights on. They left torches on every single path so that we could find our way. So the doctor's opinion, one of my favorite things that Dan Sherman put into the Big Book Awakening was that Mark Houston, who was one of the inspirations for the Big Book Awakening, he would go for about 22 years, every year, he would visit this book and he would say, can I now control my ... So maybe I'm not ... and maybe I'm okay. And he would ask this book to prove it to him. Every year he went into this courageously saying, maybe I'm not anymore. Maybe something's changed. It's like my partner says he used to be allergic to bees and he's not anymore. And that was one of the things that got him to relapse after several years. And myself, I was in my first sobriety date was December 27th, 1985. But I lived in the land of sobriety for 20 years, living like I needed a drink or something. I never had an ounce of recovery. So after 20 years of living like that, I did what an alcoholic does, and I drank to cure my alcoholism. So with that idea that you were only 23, maybe things are different now, that was the only thought that came into my mind at that time. And it's just like with other failed solutions that I have, that moment will come and say, oh yeah, well, maybe things are different. So taking one out of Mark Houston's, a page out of his playbook, let this book prove to me, because I'll tell you what, we do a great disservice if we don't help somebody to understand what it means to be alcoholic, to be an addict, to be whatever, you know, our failed solution is at the time. If we don't, this book helps us to understand the different areas of our disease, mind, body, and spirit. So that is in the doctor's opinion. And then, you know what? I'm here because frothy emotional appeal didn't do me any good. I don't care how many people begged me to stop. I would say every day, okay, today is going to be the day. And it was like Groundhog Day. So I needed a message with depth and weight. So that's why I'm here in this book. So, and I'm here because I want to be this guy. All right. I want to be the guy that Dr. Silkworth on page XXVII in the large print, who he didn't even recognize. I want to be the guy who accepted the plan outlined in the book. And 1 year later, I want to go see Dr. Silkworth and I want him not to recognize me. I want him to maybe vaguely remember my name, but I want to go from being a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck to a woman brimming over with ease and comfort that comes from within. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in this book. And then I want to be, in Bill's story, I want to be much moved by the presence of God like Bill was on page one, but I want to know what that is. I want the scales of Pride and Prejudice to fall from my eyes, as it says on page 10. I want to see. I want the blindness to go away because I've been blind. And I want to be aware that somewhere out in the world, there are other people like me who I might be able to help. I want to have that light bulb moment like Bill had on page 14. Finally, when he says, while I lay in the hospital bed, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. That would never occur to me without being taken through this book by somebody else who'd been through it before me. I want that. I want to show up at meetings for newcomers. I want to be that person. I want to have that utopian life of here and now being okay and being at perfect peace and ease. I want that. That's why we're here. So, and we're here because on page 17, we have a common problem and a common solution, right? We have found we're all on a raft out in the middle of the ocean together. And guess what? We found the rudder and we can steer it as long as we stay on it together. I have an oar. I have one for you. We can do this together. Okay. So, and I want to be armed with facts about myself, as it says on page 18. I want to be that person that can gain your confidence like nobody else can. I want to be making an approach with you knowing that I have the same problem, that I understand that I don't think I'm better than you, that I don't think anything other than the fact that you reached your hand out for help and I wanted to be the hand that took that hand. That's what it tells me in this book, and that's what I want. I want to sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions is an attitude which makes me more useful to others, because on my own, I am never going to feel that way. I'm in this book. This is why I'm here, so that I can feel this way. Because my life as an ex-problem thinker depends on the constant thought of others and how I may help meet their needs. I'm here because of that. I'm also here because I need to have a deep and effective spiritual experience, as it says on page 25. I'm here because I lost the power of choice. I lost the power of choice to say no to anything. I lost the power of choice in everything. I'm here so that I can be guided to choices now, because that's what this book told me will happen. So, and I'm here because the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my creator has entered into my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, which I was never aware of before. And so why else are we here, maybe? I know that I'm here because I need to have a vital spiritual experience. I need a huge emotional displacement and rearrangement, as it says on page 27. I need my ideas, emotions, and attitudes that have been the guiding force of my life to be changed. I need a new set of concepts. I need a new set of motives to dominate me, because I can't live like I need a drink or something anymore. I can't live like that. So I'm here because of that. And I'm here. Another reason why is because I have been seeking escape with all the desperation of a drowning woman, and the flimsy reed of the smiles that I saw in the halls of other people like me who aren't living like me anymore. It was a flimsy reed, that collective consciousness, but I get to stay here because it became the hand of God for me. I'm here because of that. I'm here because, because I've been shown that I can have a relationship with a living creator who will solve my problems. I need a problem solver. So that's why I'm here. That's why we come to this book. So why else am I here? Let's see. Everybody following me now? So now I'm into more about alcoholism. I'm here because more about alcoholism, from page 30 to page 43, shows me that it doesn't matter how I feel, what I think, anything at all, that I am an alcoholic addict, that I have an unmanageable life. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't think it away. I can't drink it away. I can't eat it away. I can't do any of that. And this entire chapter shows me that I'm like a jaywalker. I'm here because I'm like a jaywalker. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have a failed solution that I haven't tried yet, well, I'm going to try it, because I'm not so sure I like the way God's holding my life. So I'm here because I need to continue. And I'm also here because I need a power, because lack of power is my dilemma. It's a dilemma. A dilemma is a problem that all the options suck. That's a dilemma. A dilemma is not just a problem. A dilemma is, oh my God, so I have to either go to this higher power thing, or I have to live my life dying an alcoholic death. Dying the death of a person who just doesn't get it and who doesn't want it. I'm here because I need to want this. And so everything that this book tells me, like in front, this is one of my favorite ones right here. So when in More About Alcoholism, let's see, on page 38, the bottom of 38, I'm here because I'm that girl that said, yes, what you tell me is true, but it doesn't fully apply. I admit I have some of these symptoms, but I haven't gone to the extremes that the rest of you have gone to. So thanks, but no thanks. I'm here because I was that girl all the time. So that's why I'm here. And so how am I doing for time, Sandy? Because there's one place I want to get to.
6 more minutes.
Okay. So I need a power. I'm here because I need a power. We agnostics tells me that there is a power available to me, but I need to choose it. So I have one more choice I need to make with this squirrely gray matter between my ears. And I needed to look at what my life would be without any power, which is how I'd been living it, but the possibility of power. What would that look like? What could that be like? So I had to make that choice. I'm here because I made that choice. And I'm here because there was so much evidence in this book and in all of you of the great reality deep within, because none of these things I've mentioned before ever could have originated within me with the mind that caused the problem. So I see that very clearly. So it says, you know, yet we had been seeing, I'm on page 55, another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from this world. People who rose above their problems, they said God made these things possible and we only smiled, okay? We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. We needed a little bit more convincing. And this next area of the book, from 55 on out, if you aren't convinced till then, as Bill says, throw the book away. Get rid of it, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every one of us is the fundamental idea of God. And it proved it to us because we're worshipers of everything. We worship each other. We worship our failed solutions. We worship our media. We worship so many different things because we're seeking out there. So this tells us that it may be obscured by calamity, by ego, by worship of everything other than believing that, could it really be deep down inside of me? Could I actually be holding that treasure and I'm not even aware of it, right? So for faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as time, right? As old as everything. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God and some kind of power was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Think about everything that we learn in this book up to now. It is the truth. We have been trying to hide from it, trying to run from it because of childhood experiences, whatever they were. But here it is, right here, right now. So he was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. The door pushes inward, and we had no idea. It pushes inward. We go within. Dr. Bob on his desk had a plaque that he thought summed up humility. And in that plaque, it says, "And when I am despised, I know that there's a home within myself where I can go in and close the door and pray to my Father in secret. Even though all about me is turmoil," it said it all to him. Absolutely. It says it all to me. So, and what this talks about in here now, and this is what I'm going to close with. So why I'm here on page 59, I'm here because I finally admitted that I was powerless. Did I want to do that? Hell no. I was asked to say, am I willing to do what the other people in this book did? Do I want what they have? Am I willing to do it? I wanted nothing to do with it, but I saw in them something that I needed. So I said yes to the dress. So, and then I came to believe that there was a power greater than myself, that I am completely, utterly insane without it. I saw the insanity of my life in step one. And I saw that I needed a power. I believed it. Did I want to do that? Never. I wanted nothing to do with it. But was I willing? Am I willing to continue to do that because I want what you all have? Count me in. So now I had to make a decision. I don't like to make decisions. I'm the most ambivalent person you're ever going to meet in your life. However, when you told me how your life had changed after you made that decision, I decided I wanted to be with you and I wanted to taste the light that you had. So I said yes once again. Now, then you told me about this searching and fearless moral inventory. No, nothing. I want nothing to do with that. However, when you told me the change that came over you when you did that, and that I would be free and I would set the captives free that I had locked up in my own heart, I was willing. I was willing. So, and then I'm here because you told me if I admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, that would make a change. I've never admitted to being wrong in my wrong, never in my whole life. Okay. But when I heard you telling my story from a podium and you don't even know me, and I knew that you did know me just the same, I decided that it was worth a shot. So now, was I entirely ready to have God remove these things that I thought gave me power? No, but you promised me the power that would come from making that choice and doing that would be something that I've never experienced in my life. So I said, okay, I'm going to try that. Now, humbly asked him, and the original writing in the multi-list says, on your knees. The only place that it ever says, it never made it to the printing, was on my knees, humbly asked God to remove my shortcomings, remove from me where I fall short every single day of my life. I said, okay, if it worked for you, it might work for me. And then there was more. What is this going to end? So then you told me, not only did I have to make a list of everybody that I hurt, but I had to make direct amends whenever possible. I'm like, I can't even say I'm sorry. And now you want me to actually fix things? But you promised me that you would walk with me hand in hand and that God would be there to open the door every day, every time. So I did it. I did it till the last one was done, and I'm willing to do them if any more come up because I'm still a human being having a human experience. Okay. Now, I thought we were done, and now you told me that I need to continue to do this. And you said, now that you've experienced these things, now I'm going to show you the container where you can live in peace and harmony for the rest of your life. You're going to continue to keep an eye on these behaviors, and you're going to share with other people. You're going to tell on yourself. And I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then you told me that I'm going to seek contact with this power that I decided to let run my life. And I said, all right. And you showed me how to pray. You showed me some prayers, and you showed me how to let my heart speak to God. And then you showed me how to get quiet and how to hear from God, because I had no idea what that meant. And I really began to feel the change. And then I began to feel a 12-step call in my heart that I wanted to do everything that you did for me, for everyone that I ever met that had their hand out. And so I said, yes, I said I would carry a message of liberation and freedom, and that I would make sure I stayed in this container. I stayed in this lifestyle so that I could stay liberated and free, because sometimes I feel fettered. And you told me that if I continued, people, I said last year, I was never going to do another workshop again. I was so burnt out. And the next week, this lovely woman said, there's a few of us that would really like to go through the Big Book Awakening. Would you take us? And I said, yes. And I think I'm incapable of saying no now. And you told me that if I practiced these principles that I've learned, that my life would be different and that I would have a message worth carrying. And I would have a relationship with God that would, I wouldn't have problems anymore. I would see things differently. And I'm so glad that I listened to you. So that's why I'm here. I know that's why many of you are here. And I just want to thank Judith for inviting me. Thank you, Sandy, for taking the meeting. And I love you all. God bless.
Thank you, Karen. I'm going to stop the recording.